here in middle of section hay in the Dagdam Tepir Mishnayis. He had spoken about the inyan of Agarata, and his point was that Agarata are different secrets that have been ensconced in metaphor, which he calls Mishle, and the reason is because they don't want people who don't understand to be able to play with it. So they've all ensconced it in the metaphor of Agarata, and a wise person, it's almost as if the what's the right word for it, the proof is in the pudding. If the person himself is smart enough to understand Agarata, then he's smart enough to understand the secrets of it. If he can't figure it out, then he shouldn't be understanding, then he shouldn't be dealing with it anyway. So it's almost a sort of a system that's built in to eliminate the people that shouldn't be learning it. I wanted to add one more point. We spoke a little bit last time, I think, about Mashla Melitza Divrei Chachma Chidosam, that all Divrei Chachma are given in Mashal form, and I think we spoke a little bit about it. I'd like to add a point or two to it. The addition is an Evin Ezra. As a matter of fact, it's two Evin Ezras in last week's parsha that I think are very important to understand the concept that Chacham spoke in Mashal. And we said last time that all Chachma speaks in Mashal. The Mishle is the Sefer of the Chacham Kol Adam, and that's called a Mashal. So one Evin Ezra is on the Pasuk of Hazinu HaShemayim V'Daber V'Sishmatz Emifi. And the question is, why? What are we referring to when we say listen, the heavens should listen and the earth should listen? So he brings two or three explanations, whether it means Malachim and the people on earth, or the rain and the crops shall become testimony as what the Klai Yisrael is listening. Also, he says that because they last forever, that's why Shemayim Va'aretz and so on. And then he adds two lines. He says, "Ukar Masach Devnezer says Al Nishmas HaAdam Sheim Tzoyes Ben Gvoyim Lishfalim." The soul of man is in between the creatures beyond and those below, and meaning heavens and earth. V'hi Tedam HaKol Atzuras HeChala V'Af Ki LoHavim Gam HaYosheves BeHeichal. It will interpret everything in light of the exterior. That's how it will explain the interior. Al kein tagbiash fallen mitashva gvom. So thereby, man lifts up those low, and moves down those high. Basically, what he's saying here is that our task as man between the two worlds is to interpret one in the light of the other. So we're capable of conceptualizing the worlds above and interpreting them or describing them with words from the world below. So Shemayim and Eretz are physical entities that we're familiar with, and we use that to describe those worlds. And that seems to be very unique to Adam, because that's Adam's power, of the fact that Adam straddles both worlds and he goes from one world to another world, means that he has that ability specifically. The straddling of the two worlds allows him to explain one world in the vocabulary or terminology of the other world. That's one evidence. There's a second evidence on the word tsur, Tamei Paul, on the pasuk on Beis Dalet Hey. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called in this pasuk tsur. Tsur means a very firm rock, like bedrock. So he says v'tam atzur. And why do we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as tsur? Shehu Omei Tomit Kitzur. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, like bedrock is. For Alte Tame, he says, and don't be surprised that we use physical terminology to describe something which is obviously very different. Ki chen yoma kosev ka'ar yishag. Why? Ki lo yuchal amedaba ledamas maisa shen sparach kimol maisav. The only things that we have to compare Hashem with are his creations, his creatures. Ka'kol maisav. And then it brings a few more psukim where we use starkly physical things to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the point about it is, the language that we have is only the language of this world. We don't have a language of another world. So Marshall, all of Kabbalah speaks about things that are absolutely intangible. When you speak of something that's intangible, it's meaningless. It's like the teenagers were trying to discuss an experience they've had, and the typical conversation runs along the lines of they simply have zero metaphors to use. So we can shrug our shoulders and say, sort of sympathize, but there's not much information coming out. Saying that something was awesome because it was just like indescribable doesn't tell you very much. The fact that we're able to use this word terminology to express it is the ability for us to give words to something that doesn't really have words. In that Ibn Ezra itself, I think there's a separate nekuda that's worth mentioning. He says because the entire world is his doing. I think it's sort of just like if I make a table, because I needed a table, I banked out some wood. You can't tell much about me from the table. But if, let's say, I craft something, I do a painting, or I write something, so from the craft that I produced, you could tell who I am. Because my painting that I painted, my music I composed, is an expression of self, and certainly some part of myself I can express through it. Since Maisei Hashem are all Maisei Hashem, they appropriately are expressing parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we can learn from it. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not boxed into anything, but from his handiwork we can learn something about him, because all of it is his handiwork, and nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is just kind of because he needed a table. Whatever he created, there was an intention to create it. So from every being in the world we can tell something about the one who created them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, then he goes, so now back to Rambam. If a person sees something in Agadita that common sense rebels against it, he shouldn't say that what they said is nonsense. He should say he's clueless. If he'll find a metaphor that they use that he has no idea what that could mean, he should feel bad that his mind has not captured the meaning. He should say to himself, things that are pure emes to me are just seem to be off. Kilas cholim yisn zel ze yisn mizogim. People can have different levels of minds, just like different personalities. K'moyshe mezik ishach yoyse toiv yizakor v'la yoyshe mezik ishacha. Some people are closer to the straight road than others. Kenya Sechel Ishechot Yosef Sholom Yosef Molly Mesech Olamacha. Be Ain Suffolk, Ki Ain Sechel Mishayot Dava Nichbot, Kesechel Mishasochel is a Dava. Lefisha Echot Sechel before Vechel Sechel Bekoach. Val Kain Yesh, so he uses here a term that when you theoretically we can understand everything, anything, but there's two levels of understanding. One is called Seichel HaPol, which means the active, realized intellect. You know, it's something that I have actually understood. And then there's also the concept of Seichel as potentially understanding something, like what we would call an IQ. And he says, obviously, so even though the two of us have the same IQ, but since you know more stuff than mine, then your mind is considered of greater consequence than my mind. So it's very possible, since I don't know many things, then this seems to me impossible. This is the most frequent place we come into a society that's different than ours, and we imagine that everything for us should be there and so on. Then you find out it's not. There are things there that are unheard of, unthinkable in that society, and so on. The same thing is true about in Chachma. Certain points, certain theories, one group might adopt as being gospel truth, and the other group can't believe in it. And that's depending on how much I've developed, I've followed through with the Torah process. Now he gives us an example. Vanitra was a mashal mevuah, vehu. Naniyah shemar l'ishman shaychach merfuah b'chesh b'chi b'ayin gunim, boker v'tivyas chorav ha-seichel tov ha-teva. Let's say we found somebody who knows an awful lot of things. He knows arithmetic, he knows music, he knows a lot about nature, he's brilliant. V'orah mechach z'andas chach matchuna. He doesn't know any engineering, any measuring and so on. Matoma be'ish. Hatoen, what would he say about a person that says, Kigarem Hashem is zeh, shenei ka'igul cotton, uguf kaduri, v'godlos ha'kadur mea v'shishim shesh pam, v'sholosh minis pam, kigodl kadarats. So now, what will people say? What would this person say when someone comes along and says the sun has been measured and the sun is 166 times the earth? And also that the earth round that the earth that we're on is something which is 24,000 miles in circumference. I've used the word mil, which is not, I don't know if it translates exactly to mile. So he says, I don't know if he's talking about Roman mile or whatever. So how does he, and this is all possible to figure out the sun size from the earth size. So he said, it's quite clear. You call this etzadav bilti musak. The person who realized it, so the person who's this big chacham, but he never learned trigonometry, has no way of to him it's alien that somebody could sit in one place and figure this out. And what is going to be the foremost issue that he's going to have with it? He's going to say, why can't we figure out what is the shetach? It means, how is it possible that a person standing on one square foot of land should figure out the circumference of the entire earth and the sun? He says, impossible. I never heard anything like that. So he says, obviously, to say that you could sit here and measure this thing over there, which looks to me like quite a small ball anyway, and he measured it, it's crazy. And he's, it's clear to him that this is an impossible claim to make, that you could measure it from here. And if he learns from works of trigonometry, geometry, etc., that's Thomas' work. If he'll be able to learn, if he has the background in geometry and trigonometry, and then he reads his work, it's right. He's going to say it's 100% correct. There's no way to dispute it. Shakir Skandal, right, because he has proof it, and it doesn't make a difference to him whether it's this, whether the sun is this size, that size. But he says, and now he's going to and he's going to confirm that which he couldn't believe before. So he says, obviously this person is, we need a person who has the mental capacity to do this, a sharp mind, understands, open mind, and the type of question we're presenting to him is going to be a academic question, the which will help in turn get you to understanding the divine points. Kavachayme says, "Mi ye inyan b'mi she'in l'chach maklal l'istam shuweif avtel samdus." He says, imagine a person. So he says, okay, so here we have this person who's ignorant in Jam's very brightness net, will deny the tenets, will deny the axioms of astronomy. But once he learns it, he'll confirm it. So he said, now imagine in Torah, imagine someone who doesn't have, is not terribly bright, and he says, and didn't learn much, and he says he went from his mother's understanding to his wife's. The what we're trying to say is, it's someone who has no intellectual groundwork at all. Nothing is there to be able to present this stuff. So if you ask him a profound theological question, of course it's going to be distant from him, and his brain will balk at understanding it or believing it. So the understand that if the chachamim, having emunas chachamim, doesn't mean believing that which is not true. It means believing that which the Chachamim gave us, there's a lot to it. And if a person comes up against something which seems meaningless to him, then that's the absolutely perfect proof that he didn't understand it. And he says, "Valkein roish ni yape muna behen." We need to strengthen our amuna in this. V'netiv la'im behen. We don't push anything away, but every time we see something that seems to be far out, we should keep going into depth until we understand what they want, if we have the mind that's needed for it. So it's so different. Now, people somehow think that the munach means to believe the literal explanation of the words in Agarata. That's absolutely not true. What it is is... The Emunas Chachamim is to believe that everything that Chachamim gave us was done with tremendous amount of pondering and thoughtfulness of people who were up to it, and it has a tremendous amount of Chachma to it, and we may or may not understand it. It stands without us. The Chazal, besides the fact they wanted to learn, and they had a lot of machshava in it, and a group of very chashuv people, and a lack of indulgence in this world. Still, if they didn't understand something, they would say, we have a problem. And there's a lashon Chazal that the early doors had a wide open heart, and the later ones it became very small or non-existent. And certainly us who don't have Chochmah with us today, as the Tochacha says, l'chein hine Yosef l'hafle samze hafle v'fela v'avdo Chochmas Chachamo v'binat b'inov nevonet esata. So being that we know that this is something that today we don't have that measure of depth and understanding. So we have four elements that make it worse. One is choshes haseichel, that the mindset is not so strong. Two is chayzik hataiva, we have tremendous cravings for physical things. And in the Rambam's world, the Rambam Shita is always that physical activities or indulgences take away from mental, from the ability to deepen one's mental involvement. The hesitation or later this to mivakash chachma. So, and the fact that we're so eager to get Olam Hazeh, arbash fotayroim, so take from the pasuk, so a person needs to say himself like this: we know that Chazal, put every ounce of effort into giving us a sagarata, which means that they put all the chachma into it. We also know that they hid the chachma in ways that somebody who's not really into it is not going to notice it. So when we sit down and we see a chazal that looks strange, should we say this is what it means, or should we say, you know, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should send us? I mean, do we just take the flat meaning and say this is what it means? Or do we say it's silly? Or do we say that unfortunately a Kodesh Baruch has to open our eyes because there must be an emes of pshat over here? Because they knew and understood the process that somebody would go through when he was dealing with it, and they also knew that that what they had said was absolutely correct. So Chazal very much warned us not to make light of it. For Omer, they said, anyone who makes fun of Chachamim, it goes to Gehenim in Tzor Resachas, means waste, human waste, boiling. Now take a look at the metaphor that the Rambam, well, it's not the metaphor, it's actually what's right. The way the Rambam says, and what happens? He says, "Kolamalig al divrei chachamim nidim betzayr esachas." That's the punishment. Ve'ein tzayr esachas gedolah min asichlus asher hishiato lahalig. The tzayr esachas, he says, is the very mocking that he does on divrei chachamim. In other words, Let's understand this marshal a little bit. So he just says it in a very, very powerful way. That you know, the tzor tachas is something which if fits the person who's mezalzel because he makes light of divrei chachamim. That itself is the most painful statement, and the person is needed on that. I'd like to offer a drop more of explanation the Rambam does not give why Tzoros, Sachas, and so on. Chochmah is the ability to sift fact from fiction or fancy or whatever. So when a person eats, one of the things that his body is capable of doing is holding on to the food part and pushing away the part that's not that's useless or that's trash or so on and so forth. The person who looks at the Divrei Chazal and makes light of it, so he's an impression that that's it's Ke'ilu Chazal themselves were given to telling tall tales that are nonsense. So that is really the Tzoros Sachas. He's messed up and he hasn't learned to understand that Divrei Chachamim are true all and they need all be to taken in. So he says, because Chazal understood the emes, that's why they spent their days in it. And that's why they told us to work in the day and at night. In other words, Chazal was saying there's a lot of deep and difficult stuff. Not always do you have the ability to ferret it out. So you need to spend all your time on it. And that's why they made that the Iker. Understand this as much as you can. He says, take a look, and this is kind of a, I don't know what the right word for it, it's a double meaning over here. He's saying, this is what Chazal said, and by the way, take a look at how I learned up this Chazal itself. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has naught in this world except for four Ames of Halacha. V'zbeinu zadibu, kim ta'ayim bo'y kifshutoy, tir'ehu ebetachlis harichuk mina emes. If you take a look at it, the way it says, it sounds like as if Dalet Ames Halacha is the only important thing and nothing else counts. So he says, "Uzman Shem Veiv Mishach Shoyisham Halacha Nimtza Shoyla D'Shemalu Klum." So he says, take a look. He says, You're telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has only Dal Amish Halacha in this world. Well, Halacha didn't exist before, the Torah was given, minimally Avram. So in the Beis Medrash and Ve'eva, what were they learning? They were learning stuff without Halacha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no place in this world. So he says, I want to stop at this Halacha itself and try to fish out. This memory of Chazal itself needs explanation. He says, in this Maimer Chazal itself, you're going to see a big chiddush and understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to explain to you. Because this is going to be something which is a model for the future. So he's going to explain it, and as he goes along now, he's going to explain a little bit more about the concept of Enokash Baruch Adam Shalvacha. But I think we ought to hold it here. It's the end of a piece. It'll be easy a little bit. Any questions? Okay, fine. So I think we'll hold it here by Vav. What's the sword next week? We're on, or next week will be the day after Kippur. If you're good, okay, fine. Good. So Gemara Simchat Torah, good to Ben Shiar.